You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 25th of June, 2024. The Australian share market rose by 1.4% today. A great day. We'll have the details with Jamie Hanna from Van Eck. But first to aviation, where Australia's largest airlines are falling out of favour with global travellers, dropping on the list of the world's best at the Airline Awards, which was topped by Qatar Airways, followed by Singapore, Emirates and ANA All Nippon. Australian regional carrier Rex made it to number 50, but both Virgin Australia and Qantas declined in the rankings. Qantas at number 24, down from 17 last year and a peak of 4 a few years ago. For more about the Skytrack Awards, I spoke with Quinton Long from Australian Traveller Media. Quinton, Qantas has fallen out of the top 20 at the World Airline Awards. Why the fall and just how high had it been previously?
Look, these awards are really dictated by customer satisfaction surveys. So it's unfortunately no surprise to many of the customers of Qantas that they've fallen even further this year. It's just been a horrible 4 years for the airline in terms of customer satisfaction. Having said that, their balance sheet's really, really powerful. And that actually is starting to present a problem, is that the financial performance of the airline has been fantastic, yet the actual customer satisfaction has fallen through the floor. And only about 12 months ago, the Qantas frequent flyers surveys were showing that it had never been worse. And so now we face the situation where I think if they're not careful, they'll lose those rusted-on customers in the frequent flyer programs, because all their competitors are trying really, really hard to wedge them out of that loyalty program and then get them into their systems, which would actually have a huge impact on the overall financial performance of Qantas. That's the real danger. The ranking drop is an indicator of the problems that they're facing in customer satisfaction. But if they lose those Qantas frequent flyers into other programs, the Middle Eastern carriers is the one we talk about most, then they are really going to be in a very dire position.
You made an interesting point there in that these awards are based on customer satisfaction surveys. Qantas still has that amazing record on safety, though. What about other Australian or regional carriers? How are they ranking?
Yeah, so some really amazing results in terms of, first of all, Virgin, they also dropped. They dropped from 46th to 54th in the rankings. So that's not that unexpected considering where the airline is coming out of receivership. Most fascinating was the entry of Rex at 50th. This is a regional airline in Australia that has only recently started doing that eastern corridor from Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. Fantastic news for them. And fantastic that they're ahead of Virgin. I think this is critical. And that starting, you know, people are starting to really consider Rex a viable competitor. And that is fantastic for the traveller. We all know that competition, particularly a third carrier on a route, really does lead to downward pricing. And that absolutely spurs on competition. Fantastic for travellers all across Australia. Further afield, though, really interesting that one I don't think gets enough respect in the Australian market is Fiji Airways. They're quietly progressing up the rankings, quietly asserting themselves. They've moved from 15th to 14th. They are now 10 positions ahead of Qantas in these global rankings and the number one airline in the Australia-Oceania region. That is enormous news and something that really Qantas needs to keep an eye on. Sure, they're a small airline, but they will continue to grow and start to really assert themselves if they can get the capital to expand the fleet.
Okay, number one overall was Qatar. Why?
Incredible airline. Obviously, state-sponsored means that they have a lot more freedom, but they have done a fantastic job in delivering excellent customer satisfaction and customer delivery. Further, I think this gets lost on some people, but they were the only airline that continued to fly throughout 2020 and 2021 and 2022. They had this mission to get passengers, global citizens, home to their countries. And so they continue to fly all over the world. And I think they're reaping the rewards of that mission and that commitment to travellers.
So when you look at these awards, right, what makes a great airline a great airline?
The honest truth is the distance between 1 and 10, it can change dramatically because on one particular flight, you may have a completely different experience. But this is in aggregate, overall, you generally will get the best experience from the top 10 airlines. But what makes a great airline is always going to be a combination of service, and service is about people, and then the hardware. Is the hardware comfortable? Is the hardware, when I say hardware, I don't just mean the aircraft and the seat. I also mean, is the entertainment system up to scratch? Are the lounges? Now, in business class, the lounge means a lot and really influences how people feel about an airline. And so it's that overall service through people that really generates what people think about an airline. And then add to that the final sort of foot of the three-footed stool, I suppose, is loyalty. Is the loyalty program rewarding me?
And finally, to what extent do you think a customer demand's changing?
I think customer demands are changing because we've lost the mystique and the romance of air travel. You know, as travel got cheaper and a lot more egalitarian, and low-cost carriers had a lot to do with that, but the price of aviation in real dollars has not changed. You know, I bought a round-the-world ticket in 1991 and it cost $2,500. And that has not gone up since. It's still only about $2,500 today to get a round-the-world ticket if you're generally lucky. So that really shows you that the world is traveling on aircraft a lot more. So their expectations, they treat it like a taxi in the sky. And if you can outdo that expectation, then you'll win them over. But we travel so much, we don't have any romance for it. We're a lot more discerning, I suppose, is the shortest answer I can give you to that.
Quinton Long there from Australian Traveller.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On the Money podcast.
A great day for the Australian share market today. The S&P ASX 200 up 1.4%. Its best day in about 6 weeks to a two-week high of 7,838. It means it's around 50 points away from a record high. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Jamie Hanna from Van Eck.
Yeah, the market is up all across the board today, green across all sectors. It's up about 1% at the moment. Really, the primary drivers are energy companies, banks, and the property sector. Tech's a bit of a drag on the market, but it's still green. It's just not up as much as the rest of the market. Overall, it's just following some of the success last night in the US.
Tomorrow, we get from the ABS the monthly inflation indicator. What's the market expecting? And what's it likely to mean for interest rates and the share market, given that the ASX is flirting with those near record highs?
Yeah, look, the market is expecting a print of about 3.8% tomorrow, whereas previously it was at 3.6%. So we're actually feeling like it could surprise further on the upside than that 3.8% that the market's predicting. It's really showing that there's been a re-acceleration in inflation. So the market is expecting inflation to be higher than what it has been previously. And it's really coming on the back of services inflation. It's been extraordinarily difficult to get on top of that due to the strength of the labor market. So what it means for the mortgages is that interest rates are going to stay higher for longer. It doesn't look like there's going to be any cuts this year at all. And it also could potentially be a drag on the share market. Although having said that, at the moment, the market has been basically ignoring any of the inflation prints and it's still continuing to set all-time highs, but it is a risk for the market.
Something that has been hitting all-time highs, some of those tech stocks, especially in the US, the NASDAQ hitting highs recently, but we've seen a bit of a reversal over the past few days, a bit of some people calling a correction with NVIDIA anyway. Is tech and AI something that you like?
Look, the tech sector has been the primary growth engine of the US for the last couple of years. There's no doubt that if you stripped out the big tech companies, the US markets haven't been as strong as what they look on paper. That said, NVIDIA at the moment is still booming ahead. It's dropped 13% in the last 3 days, but it's still up 140% since the start of the year. So it's extraordinarily difficult to value a company like NVIDIA, where they're still getting so much demand for their chips in relation to the artificial intelligence. So a lot of people feel like they missed the AI start, and now they're trying to overcompensate by buying as many chips as they can. So NVIDIA is still in demand. And it's arguable that a lot of the other tech companies are still in demand as well, hence why we're seeing valuations continue to increase. So it's very hard to guess where it'll mean in the medium term. But if you look at our day-to-day use of technology, it's increasing year on year, and we're refreshing a lot of our old hardware for new things, as well as spending money on things like Netflix and the like. So people are still spending money in the tech sphere, so hence why valuations are still going up.
Speaking of rising valuations, the banks, particularly the Commonwealth Bank, have heard by many analysts that it's relatively expensive, but CommBank shares continue to hit a record, another record today. What do you make of the banking sector?
Yeah, look, we actually think the banking sector is overvalued. We're expecting in the second half of the year for mortgage delinquencies to increase. It goes without saying that the big four banks still hold about 73% of all mortgages in Australia. So if delinquencies start going up and people start struggling to pay for some of their mortgages, then it's going to impact the bank's bottom line. It's also with the big four banks, I do feel that some of their net interest margins are going to come under some pressure. So it's also going to affect profitability. We are negative on the banks, but that said, they still keep hitting new all-time highs and pushing higher and higher. So it's difficult to actually quantify the reason behind that when you look at it on a global basis and some of the metrics that the Australian banks are actually at the moment. However, it'll all come down to the next round of results from the banks, and then we'll be able to drill into the results in more detail.
We've heard from a lot of retailers over the past few days. Today, we heard from Collins Food, which operates KFC in Australia. It posted record revenue, but it's also warning that consumers are spending less. What's your take on the consumer at the moment?
Yeah, look, Collins Food results, first of all, they were strong results on the back of, increased sales of KFC. And look, you've seen a subsequent sharp rise in their share price. Look, it's difficult to say, though, what it means for the consumer. If you actually look at Collins Food, they're actually 20% off their highs that they sent earlier in the year. So they've already pulled back on the back of retail sales. Now, that said, many retailers are starting to feel the pinch from consumers not spending as much money as what they had previously done. Now, none of that's actually flowing through into the share prices yet. We're still seeing a lot of retailers still at reasonable multiples on the share market. But I think what you'll find, and it's been highlighted by Collins Food, that in May and June, they've seen a pullback. And I think other retailers are in the same state where they're just starting to feel the pinch now, and that the next round of results and the next forecasts that come through, I think you'll see a bit of a pullback in some of the retailers. Now, all the retailers are under the same pressure. That's because everyone has either increasing mortgage payments, increasing rents, increasing energy bills, insurances, and just general inflation. So people have less money to spend, and the number one thing they're going to cut back on is things that they don't absolutely have to spend, and that's a lot of the retailers.
I'm glad I got you on today because only recently, I think last week, VanEck launched Australia's first Bitcoin ETF. How's it been tracking?
Look, yes, we launched the first Bitcoin ETF on the ASX last Thursday, and it's seen some really strong inflows since then. We've actually increased the fund by 5 times in size since last Thursday. And essentially, all it's doing is offering investors, Bitcoin. It tracks the price of Bitcoin. But the reason why it's been more successful is that it's actually has institutional grade safekeeping of the assets. So you don't have to keep any of the keys or worry about passwords anymore. And it's also in a regulated fund listed on the ASX, so you can trade it through your normal broker. So many financial advisors have been asked recently. We did a survey, and about 70% or more advisors have been asked about some form of cryptocurrency, including Bitcoin, over the past year. So they're getting asked. So all we're really doing is providing a regulated investment for them to invest in, or for clients to invest in, where they don't have to worry about safekeeping the assets.
Okay, and finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's very difficult at the moment when markets are at all-time high. It's super critical that everyone is well diversified in their portfolio at the moment because we don't know where any of the risks will come through in the market. That said, if you're looking for something within the market, look, you really want to stick to quality companies. And by quality, I mean companies that have like stable year-on-year earnings growth, high return on equity, and most importantly, low debt. That way, they're not being hit by a lot of the economic factors that are flowing through the markets at the moment.
That's Jamie Eck there from Jamie Hanna rather, from VanEck.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.